toward God. When God tells us that we're evil, God tells us that we do the wrong thing, we react with this anger. And the second thing that I'd like to say is how God tells us that because he loves us. It's the most loving thing that he could do. So the first is our anger towards God. The second is God's love for us. But the first, before I get into that, just give a quick bit of context about what's happening. As we've seen over the past couple of months, Jesus is kind of walking around the outskirts of the city, kind of preaching, teaching. He's doing miracles. We've seen that he fed 15,000 people with a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread. He healed people. He walked on water. He controlled the winds and waves. And he did all these things because he wanted to show that he wanted to show that he was God, and he wanted to really give people a reason to listen to his message. But he hasn't spent much time in the capital city. He's been, you know, going around the outskirts of the capital city doing this stuff. So his brothers come up and say to him, well, look, Jesus, I mean, why don't you go into the capital and do this stuff so that everyone can see you? You know, don't you think you're wasting your time, like, going around these small places? And by the way, Jesus, there's this big religious party on in the capital this week, the Feast of Tabernacles, and everyone who's anyone is going to be there. So what better place to show that all these miracles, to show that you're God? And Jesus said to him, well, look, you can go up to that feast because everyone loves you, but I'm not going to go up to the feast because actually everyone hates me because I tell them that they do evil stuff and they want to kill me. So that's not, I don't want to go where people want to kill me just yet. And he not only says that, but he takes this opportunity to really teach his brothers something about themselves and to teach his brothers something about all humanity. He wanted to teach them, humanity hates me because I tell them that they've done the wrong thing. So which leads into point one, that we get angry with God because he tells us that we aren't good people and that we've done the wrong thing. I mean, just in general, we don't take criticism too well, do we, as human beings? You know, we don't enjoy people coming up to us and telling us that we've done the wrong thing or that there's something wrong in our character. You know, as adults, we're good at putting a face over it and kind of putting a cover on it and having some self-control. But as a kid, you really see your true self coming out. I mean, have you ever seen a kid just say at Woolies, trying to sneak a curly whirly into the mum's trolley, you know, when the mum's not looking? Like, they're walking down the chocolate aisle. I saw Tim's like, heck yes, I've seen that a few times. Walking down the trolley aisle, walking down the chocolate aisle, and the mum turns her back for a second, and little Johnny, 5-year-old's like, okay, mum's turned her back, reaches out for the curly whirly, sneaks it in the basket. And mum's just got this kind of sixth sense, you know, cyclop eye in the back of her head. She's like, Johnny, you just put a curly whirly in the basket, didn't you? And she turns around and she sees Johnny, like, with the hand, like, with the curly whirly, like, shaking his head. I don't know how this got into my hand. It just kind of, you know, I don't know what's going on here. And then, you know, the mum gets up, Johnny, and says, what are you doing? You're deceiving me. You know, you've done the wrong thing. Goes to give him a smack, goes to tell him off. And then Johnny just goes nuts, just has a complete tantrum, just gets on the floor, flaps his hands about, screaming, you know, just having a complete narny because he didn't get his curly whirly and because his mum told him off. He knew he was doing the wrong thing, his mum told him off, and he didn't like it. And that's how a kid reacts. I mean, I've never ever seen a kid in Woolies respond well to criticism. Okay, I've never seen a kid go, I've never seen Johnny have the curly whirly and go, oh, yep, I stuffed up. Oh, I shouldn't have done that, Mum. Yep, oh, it's bad. I deceived you. Yep, thank you for loving me. Thank you for this discipline. It's good for me. I'm a bad person. Thank you, Mum. You know, that would be a good response because he's done the wrong thing. But kids don't respond that way. They respond with tantrums and they get upset and they get angry. That's what happens. What about as we grow up? You know, think of a teenage girl, okay, let's just say her name is Sally, and Mum tells Sally to clean her room 3 times. She tells Sally to clean her room, and she doesn't do it. So after 3 times, Mum gets up and she goes, Sally, you know, I told you 3 times to clean your room. What are you doing? You know, does Sally sit there and go, oh, Mum, I'm lazy and I'm disrespectful and I'm sorry, I've stuffed up. You know, thanks for telling me that I've done the wrong thing. I really want to be a better person. I've never seen that. I don't have a sister, but I know that that's not how girls respond. Because I've been in someone's house and this exact thing has happened. And what Sally does is, you know, Sally, I told you 3 times and Sally's like, whatever, and just walks off, okay? And don't laugh, I was practicing that all afternoon, so do not laugh at that. That was awesome impersonation. But Sally, you know, teenage girls just give this massive attitude, and teenage boys as well. They don't want to be told that they're doing the wrong thing. It's just a part of human nature. So I'll pick on the guys next. Married men. Married men, any man doesn't like criticism. We just don't do criticism well. We don't like people telling us that we've done the wrong thing. We don't like people pointing out our faults. So, I mean, what happens if, a young married couple goes to a dinner party? The young man makes an insensitive comment, maybe makes fun of his wife in front of everyone. He thinks it's a good laugh. She gets offended, doesn't say anything at the time for obvious reasons, but hears about it on the way home in the car. And she says to him, hey, you know, let's call him Bill. Hey, Bill, you said this really nasty thing and it really hurt me. And you shouldn't make fun of me like that because, you know, it embarrasses me and it hurts and it's not nice. I mean, how does Bill respond to that? How does Bill respond to that criticism? I know very few guys who would go, yeah, you're right. I mean, I was insensitive and my jokes are lame and no one laughs at them and I hurt you and I'm really sorry about that. That's not how Bill responds. You know, you've got a lot of guys who just go ignore it and just go, yep, 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 great, yep, awesome, too easy. And then you've got, and just let it go through one ear out the other. And then you've got other guys who would go, what? Let you think I've got problems? Let me tell you about you. When you wake up in the morning, you look horrible. Last night, I heard you fart. Women aren't supposed to fart. That's wrong. That's disgusting. You think I've got issues? What about you? You know, like we don't take it well. We don't take criticism well. And no human being enjoys being told that, you know, they've done the wrong thing or that there's a real problem with their character. And that's what was happening with Jesus and people a couple of centuries ago. Jesus was going around and he was not only doing miracles, but he was sharing this message that, hey, you think you're good people, but you're just not. And you need to be forgiven. And so he got to the religious people and he'd say, you know, your religion, it doesn't count for anything. You go to church on a Sunday and you pray these really nice, you say these really nice things and everyone loves you. But on the inside, you're a hypocrite and you don't love people. You're just in it for yourself. And God doesn't like that. You know, you're a bad person. You've done the wrong thing. And the religious people of the day hated Jesus for that, absolutely hated him, because they thought that they were awesome. They thought that they were right with God because they did go to church and they did pray these really nice things. And the non-religious people as well. So the people who didn't go to church, didn't pray, Jesus told them the same message, a little bit differently. But he said, hey, I know you don't go to church, I know you don't pray, but the thing is that God created you and he owns you and he loves you and he's given you your body, he's given you your talents, he's given you your money, he gives you humour, he gives you friends, he gives you family, but you don't thank him for it. And even more than that, he created you and he owns you and he tells you to do certain things and you don't do them. You completely reject him and you choose to live your own way. You don't want to know what God says. You don't want to know what his rules are for your life. You just completely reject him. And that's unjust. It's wrong. And you think that you're a good person because you're not as bad as the bloke next to you. But you've done massive wrong to God because you haven't thanked him for what he's given you. And you haven't listened to what he says about how to run your life. So the non-religious people wanted to kill Jesus as well, because he told them that they were evil when they thought that they were good. So just second point, Jesus said these things because it was the ultimate act of love. Just going back to the marriage example, I mean, why does a wife say to her husband, you've got this problem in your character? Why does a wife say to her husband, hey, you know, it really hurt when you said those things about me at that dinner party? Why does she say that? She says that because she loves him and she wants him to grow and she wants him to be happy, and she doesn't want him to hurt the people around him. She doesn't want him to hurt herself. So she says something a little bit painful so that he can turn around and have long-term happiness. So she says something that's a little bit harsh, that hits a point that goes, hey, there's a problem with you, and I'm saying this to you because I want you to turn around and change so you can have long-term happiness, so that the people around you can be happy as well. It's a loving thing for a wife to say to her husband, hey, you've got this problem in your character, and I don't want you to go down that direction. I want you to do a U-turn and come back this way. Same with a parent. I mean, why does a parent smack their kids? It's out of love, isn't it? It's because you don't want your kid to end up, you know, a selfish, you know, brat who hurts all of the people around him. I've got a good friend, and over the past few weeks, he told his mum, he said, hey mum, thanks heaps for smacking me as a kid. I hated it then, but I love you now for it, because I'm not a selfish brat. And he's got a 25-year-old mate who is a selfish brat, and he says, mum, thanks so much for smacking me, because if you didn't smack me, I would have turned out like this guy, and I don't want to be like that guy. Thank you so much for doing that. And that's a great response. I mean, parents cause a little bit of pain to their kids so that long term they're going to have maximum happiness, so that they're not going to go down this self-destructive path that's going to hurt them and hurt the people around them, but so that they're going to do a U-turn and pursue a life that brings long-term happiness and joy to themselves and the people around them. And ultimately, this is God's love for us. This is why he said, hey, you're not good people, you're evil, you need forgiveness. It was kind of like a little smack. It's a little bit of pain, because he says that, look, you're going in the wrong direction. This lifestyle that you're going in is destructive, and it hurts you, and it hurts the people around you, and it's got eternal consequences. And I love you, and I want you to turn around and come back to me. And yes, it hurts, and I know it hurts. I know it hurts to hear that you're not a good person. I know it hurts to hear that you need forgiveness. But I love you, and I want you to be happy with me forever in heaven. So that's why Jesus said that for us. Just a point on injustice. We, as God on one hand is an incredibly just God, okay? And he says, look, you've committed a crime, you need to do the time. You've done something wrong, there's a penalty for that, okay? He's not an unfair judge that just lets people go scot-free. And each one of us can relate to that. Like, we have God's justice inside of us. You know, if we see something that's wrong in the world, we get angry, rightly. If we see a parent, you know, hurting their kids, or, you know, torturing their kids, if we see anything going wrong, we want justice, we want them to be accountable, we want things to be fair. Not sure if anyone remembers the Kony campaign, Kony 2012. This is an awesome example of that. Kony was in Africa, and he would kidnap 5-6-year-old kids, and he'd put a machine gun in their hand, and he'd tell them to shoot their parents in the head. Just like that. 5 or 6-year-old, machine gun, if you don't shoot your parents, I'm going to shoot you. And these kids had to shoot their parents. And then they went off to be with Kony. How unjust is that? How wrong is that? And you've got the whole world came together over the space of a couple of months and demanded justice. They demanded that Kony be accountable. They said, this is wrong. It's not right. He needs to pay for what he's done. This stuff can't go on. So the whole world is screaming out for this guy to face the penalty. And imagine how it would feel if Kony was before a judge and the judge said, oh, but yeah, sure, Kony's done some bad things. Sure, he's kidnapped some kids. Sure, he's murdered some people. But, I mean, he fed the kids. He did some good things. He gave them a roof over their heads, didn't he? You know, he did some good things. He wasn't all bad. So maybe we'll just give him, you know, 6 months community service. Like, how would you feel if that happened? I know I would be really angry. And I know most logical human beings would be incredibly angry and would seek that judge's head and would want to make him responsible for what he's done, because Kony should face justice for what he's done. And God is the same way. He's not an unjust judge. He says, look, you've committed this crime against me. You haven't. I own you. I created you. But you reject me. You don't want to listen to what I say. You don't want to listen to my rules. You don't want to thank me for everything that I've given you. And there is a penalty for that. Someone has to face the penalty. Justice needs to be served. But then God does something amazing, and that's out of God's incredible love. God took a bullet for his enemy. There's a lot of things that my dad has said to me that are really will remember, hopefully, for the rest of my life. And one thing he said to me recently, and I'll say this now because he's not here, so I won't embarrass him. But he said to me, Ian, you know, I'd take a bullet for your mum. I'd take a bullet for her. And I believe that. My dad would take a bullet for mum because he loves her to bits. And that's right. And that's just. And that's what real manhood's about. And I know that, you know, every man in this room, if you're married or if you have a partner or a fiance, you'd do the same thing. You would take a bullet for your wife. And we would take a bullet for the people around us. But who would take a bullet for their enemy? Who would do that? You know, if someone hurts you and abuses you and wants your harm, would you jump in front of a bullet to save their life? I know I wouldn't. I mean, when people hurt me, even when I deserve it, I want revenge. You know, that's just in my heart. I want them to pay. I want to hurt them. I have this retaliation inside of myself. I wouldn't take a bullet for them. There's no way I would. And I don't know another human being that would do that, that would take a bullet for their worst enemy. And that's the incredible love that God has for us. And that's the message that Jesus had. Jesus' message was, hey, you know, you are evil, you aren't good, you need salvation, you need forgiveness. And there's a penalty for what you've done. But I love you. Please let me take the penalty for you. Let me take the burden for you. Don't face that yourself. It's not right. Let me do that. I want to take the bullet. I want to take the penalty. And that was Jesus' awesome message when he was here. So he was prepared to cause us a little bit of pain and to say, hey, look, you're evil, which does hurt. And it does make us a bit angry. But he did that so that we would turn from this destructive path, so that we would turn to him, so that we would go, Jesus, please take the penalty for me, take the burden for me, die for my sin, because I don't want to face that. And he said that anyone who does ask him to take the penalty, he will do that. He'll take the bullet for any single human being who asks him to take the bullet for him. And that was Jesus' awesome message. And that's why he said that you're evil, because he wanted us to turn to him and seek forgiveness so that we can have an awesome life with him in heaven. So I just want to ask, just in closing, what about you? I mean, how do you feel with Jesus' message? You know, are you a good person? Are you a good person? How does it make you feel that Jesus said, hey, you think you're a good person, but in my eyes you're not? You do all this stuff, you treat people well, but at the end of the day you've rejected me and you don't care about what I say and you haven't thanked me for everything. How does that make you feel? Does it make you feel angry? Fair enough. We don't like being told that we've done the wrong thing. But I'd urge you just to see the amazing love that God has for us in saying that. That Jesus came to earth and he said, I will take the bullet for anyone who asks me to do that. And we can be completely forgiven for what we've done. And we can put that on Jesus and we can be in heaven with him for eternity. So I'll leave it there.